Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What are you doing to protect your family's assets? The exclusive sponsor of Grant and Danny, the law firm Condorian Murad, will help you to draft a last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. The show is on the road today. We are at City Tap House near Capital One Arena, just a couple blocks away from the site of hockey tonight to kick off a new season. The Caps and the Bruins, come on out here and hang out with us. We'll be here until 6:30. The game starts at 7:30, game one of 82 for the Capitals. You can hear the game right here on The Fan at 7:30 tonight. The voice of the Capitals, John Walton, will be on the call, and he joins us now on the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. John, thank you for a few minutes. Happy New Year to you. Let's do the hockey.
Yeah, let's do it. And if I'd known you guys were going to be that close, I should have come over and gotten some wings. I feel like I might have missed out on a good opportunity there. But you know what? It's a great atmosphere outside. I was just outside a little bit ago. The rain held off. And it is really great to have hockey back. Just can't wait to get it going here.
What's the most important thing for this team this year?
Danny, I think the most important thing is getting offensive production from the third line. This team was really good from the top forward all the way to the 12th forward, the two goaltenders, the 6D. But the one thing that they just never really figured out last year was how to get scoring production from the third line. It started with Henrik Slompierre at the beginning of the season. It didn't work out, and he got sent to Hershey. They traded for Lars Eller. And I love me some Tiger, but there just wasn't enough offense there this time around. And there just weren't that many goals. There are a lot of goals on this team they scored, but not a lot of them came from there. So I'm going to be watching tonight Anthony Beauvillier, Henrik Slompierre, and Ryan Leonard. There's great potential in Leonard. Henrik Slompierre was the team's best player in the preseason. He's come in to grab a job, and he did. He even changed the trajectory. I talked with Spencer Carberry. We'll have it on the pregame tonight. Talking about, look, we were talking to have Connor McMichael at center on the third line, and he came in and basically changed our plans. And good for him, because, you know, making those decisions tough, that's what you need. So I love what we saw in camp. You got to make it work in the regular season. It's got to start here tonight against Boston, but more offense on the third line. Do that, and I think this team's going to be just fine.
John, Henrik Slompierre was the leader in the NHL in points for most of the preseason. So the production was obvious, and that's how he crowbarred his way into the mix here. But what is different about his game? What have you seen as a progression? Because as you said, last year they gave him a third-line role. It didn't stick. They're running it back and trying again this year. And then also give me a thought on Leonard, who looked way more comfortable, finished with way more ability and consistency in the preseason than he did in the regular year last year.
Yeah, I mean, and both kind of have similar stories, just in different places in their career. And for Hendricks, I just thought he was very tentative last year, and he just never really attacked the puck. And I think part of the issue with Hendricks, too, and it's great to the winning and development down on the farm in Hershey, and they won back-to-back Calder Cups, and he was even the MVP for the second one. But he played into July for 2 years, and the Bears went out in the second round this year, and he had some more time. And just hearing, you know, Chris Patrick talk about that and Spencer Carberry, where he got more summer, not only to work out and get bigger and stronger, but also rest and come into camp ready to go. And I see him attacking the net. I see a shoot first mentality that I didn't see, quite frankly, a year ago during camp. It just wasn't enough. I kept waiting, like, oh, it's got to come. It's got to come. Well, he's got to be 3C on opening night. Well, it's got to come. And it just never did. And no goals in 27 games. There wasn't a choice. They had to send him down. But that's the exact opposite to your point that he did this year. He came in and just lit it up, and he distributed the puck. He won faceoffs too. I mean, it wasn't just the points. It was the fact that he was winning draws. He didn't look out of place at all at any point. I think he's ready to go. Ryan Leonard, you know, it's still a little bit of a work in progress. I love the fact that he was scoring goals in the preseason. You could see that confidence. He's got an unbelievable shot. He's coming in with a pretty high pedigree, led the nation in scoring among NCAA, you know, top 10 pick, you know, all of those things. He's got to play at both ends. I mean, I want to see a little bit more on the defensive side. Saw a few things in the preseason. Like, oh, okay. I mean, he's learning still. And I think we got to understand as a fan base and as a media corps, like, there's going to be some growth that he's going to have to experience. He's still his first opening night. He's still first time he's going to have a full season in the NHL. But, boy, the sky's the limit. And really looking forward to seeing what those two can do with Anthony Beauvillier.
It goes without saying, and John Walton on the call, Caps Hockey tonight, 7:30, puck drop right here on the Fan for game one. Those are the two guys that could be this year's kids that make a leap, like McMichael and Protas did last year. But what about the guys that didn't make the roster, who provide the depth, who in most organizations would be on the team based on their camp and preseason? I'm thinking Ivan Mereshnichenko, the other Protas, little Protas, who's 6'6 all of a sudden, Ilya, and then also Andrew Kristol. Will we see those guys early or at all this year, or is the Caps' plan that ideally they won't have to tap into them this season?
I think it's more the second one, that you hope you don't have to, and all of that's pretty well based on, are there injuries, is there a necessity? But, man, Ilya Protas is a specimen. Like, he may turn and make a play at the net in the Columbus game where and he didn't score, but I was like, man, just look at the instincts and going to the front of the net, and he's already as big as his brother. And, you know, we saw for Alexei, I was like, going into last year, I was like, gosh, if he could get to double digits in goals, even 15, like, that'd be a nice season. And he goes out and drops 30 on us. At some point, I mean, if you've got both of those guys and the size and the speed, and I'd even throw Eric Mateko in there, who we really liked during the preseason. Ryan Chesley was great, I thought, defensively. And you can see the next wave coming. The job that this organization has done in this rebuild on the fly that went back to the trade deadline in 2023 and said, you know what, we're not making the playoffs this year, but we're going to get some picks. And we brought in Rasmus Sandin, and we're going to last summer go out and bring seven new guys in and just – all spot on across the board, all guys that contributed and guys that excelled, including the starting goaltender tonight, Logan Thompson, 30 wins last year, to be able to move that needle forward. Now you got to take the next step, right? I mean, yeah, last year was great, but you've got to be able to get production from whatever is on the farm if you need it, to be able to have guys go to the next level, the third line, as we talked about. And defensively, I mean, I think a lot of people, even outside of Washington, look at this decor and say it might be the best in the NHL. You've got guys that can score. You've got guys all the way through that are tough to play against, positionally sound, make it easy on the goaltenders a lot of nights. That'll take you a long way. And I think that's the real backbone of this team, is a decor that might be second to none in the whole league as we get going tonight.
You know the voice. It's John Walton, play-by-play voice of your Washington Capitals, joining us here on Grant and Danny live from City Tap in Penn Quarter. John, Wayne Gretzky is the greatest hockey player of all time, one of the great athletes of all time. I'm not saying anything to besmirch him. I'm just trying to make a point here for a second. In his age 38 season, he managed 9 goals across 70 games. In Alex Ovechkin's age 39 season, he managed 44 goals in a season where he broke his leg. I have run out of words. I don't have we need to make up new ones to try to describe how patently absurd all of this was and still remains to this day. What do we expect from age 40, Alex Ovechkin?
I never think the low end, that's for sure. I mean, and to your point, and it's a great one, you know, that's what he did last year. So when everybody asks the question, and everyone does, is he retiring? Is this the last year? And truly, I don't think he knows. I think it just going to play this out and see how it goes. I honestly think that now that we're at opening night, I think that's the way it's going to go. I think it's his business and his alone. But when you had the year he had last year, how could you leave at this point? Like, if maybe you don't get 44, maybe you get 35, maybe you get even 30, but if you do, like, you're still producing, and the power play and all the things that, you know, how do you walk away from that? So, I mean, I think we'll know through the course of the year. I mean, Father Time's undefeated, but Father Time never met Alex Ovechkin, I'll tell you, because you're right.
Yeah,
I mean, Wayne Gretzky, my goodness. I mean, you know, all his goals came in his 20s, really, a lot of them. And, you know, here he is. And, right, with a broken leg and all of that, and we all thought, oh, gosh, what's this going to do? Is he going to be able to come back from it? Well, he did just fine, and he just mowed it down. I mean, that's the thing. Think back to those few days in April when he got to 895. It wasn't like he just limped into it. He mowed it right over. He's like, ah, you know what? Two goals, could have had four against Chicago at home that night, and then just go grab it in the second period the very next game. He just will always be the best to ever do it.
John, how about the fourth line? A change has been made with Duhaime and Dowd, one of the few additions this offseason, and Justin Sordiff. What do we think?
You know what? This is a real big night for him, and I'm glad you brought him up because, you know, they like his skating, a little bit of toughness there. And, you know, I had a chance to talk with him a little bit this week. I mean, he's excited. You know, he didn't really get a chance in the Florida organization because Florida is very good. They won the Cup back-to-back years, and he just couldn't quite break through. But now he's got that opportunity. He's here on opening night. You know, he's got a regular line to play on. And who better to learn from than Nick Dowd, who is one of the best defensive guys to do it. I think that's going to be a line that gets a lot of ice time. And he gets to come down the tunnel for the first time tonight. I just, you know, you're right. I mean, there's 20 guys on his roster that played here last year. And so, run it back after 111 points. Why would you change very much? But, you know, how excited must he be? And I love those stories when you get to this and you've just waited all your life. Yeah, he got called up, but he's only played four NHL games in his whole career. Tonight, in our town, with a juiced house and coming down that tunnel for the first time, a brand new locker room, by the way, it's just a great story. I love that for him, and I hope he has a great season with those guys.
Give me it's hard to say on a veteran team with a bunch of guys in their prime. The younger players, I think, of quote-unquote, are, you know, in their primes right now. Guys like Dylan Strome, Connor McMichael, PLD, et cetera. But give me, if there is such a thing on this roster, John, give me a breakout candidate, someone that we're not thinking about that might have a great year.
That's an interesting question. I mean, Ryan Leonard would be the guy that, I mean, you'd be wondering, you know, what does he do in his first full year? Because it's not easy to jump up and do what he did last year to, you know, on the way to the second best record in the NHL and catching a moving train and leaving college to be with a good NHL team. And then in the playoffs, and oh, by the way, Wayne Gretzky's congratulating you in person on your first goal. I mean, just crazy, crazy stuff that we'll never see again. I mean, I think that's a possibility. But you know what? The guy for me that just because he's on that same line and not somebody we're necessarily thinking about, I think Anthony Beauvillier could have a big year. This is a guy who's played with Alex Ovechkin, but he's also played with Sidney Crosby. He's played with Matt Barzal of the Islanders. He knows how to play with good players, and now he's at a point in his career where he can kind of take that role and run with it. And how many guys have we seen that have come here? Logan Thompson last year, Pierre-Luc Dubois last year. I mean, you can go back to the Cup team and a guy like Brett Connolly and Devontae Smith-Pelly didn't work somewhere else. And hey, no, nobody wanted him. And then you come here and you do big things. And I've got our first radio show on your very station on Saturday morning. We're going to talk to Chris Patrick about this. What makes this culture and this team so special that guys come here and it's like, well, you know, like Logan Thompson, a little chip on the shoulder. Team Canada doesn't want me, or Vegas didn't want me, and I'm going to come in here, I'm going to win 30 games. There's a fostering of, listen, you be you, and we accept you, and you come in here and just play hockey. If you help us win, we want you here. And I think for Anthony Beauvillier, that could be that this year, that he has a big offensive year because, you know, that faith, and, you know, he's bounced around with a few teams, but now he gets to come here and just like, you know what, this is your role. Go help these kids be better and make you better too in the meantime. I think that might be my pick, Anthony.
John Walton, 7:30 start time tonight. Pregame about 15 minutes before that right here on The Fan. John, last one I'll let you out on this. I was just here for the preseason game a week ago against Boston. This is not your older brother's Bruins team. Give us a little scouting report on the opponent tonight.
Yeah, they're in transition. I mean, this is not, you know, and it was so used to for so many years, you know, here comes Marchand, here comes Bergeron, here comes Krejci. You know, David Pastrnak is still a world-class goal scorer. But they don't have a lot beyond that. They've got a team. Victor Arvidsson has haunted the Capitals in his previous incarnations, most notably in Nashville. But they're trying to find offense. Marco Sturm, who played for the Capitals briefly, is going to make his NHL coaching debut tonight, head coach behind the bench, coming up from NHL Ontario. So they've got some guys on defense. I like Charlie McAvoy and Mason Lauri. That's their top deep pair. They've got to play a lot. You're going to hear those names, see those names a lot tonight. But this is a team that, I mean, when you look at them defensively, Jeremy Swayman's a good goalie, but you can get shot volume on these guys. It's just a matter of forecheck and getting shots. And I think when you do that, you got a real good chance of winning. You know, the Islanders and the Rangers. The Rangers, I thought, were real quiet last night against the Penguins, and honestly, that surprised me. I don't think all that much of what Pittsburgh has right now beyond Sidney Crosby, and their veterans have gotten older. But, hey, they looked good last night, and they beat the Rangers and shut them out in their home opener. So you got that on Sunday. You got the Islanders. I'm hoping that, you know, this team finds a way to, you know, put two or three wins on the board here and then feel pretty good about yourself going into the first full week next week.
You mentioned Saturday's broadcast. Tell people about the CapsCast you're doing.
Yeah, so Caps Saturday face-off, 7 to 8 a.m. We're really pumped about it. We're going to have a full hour of Caps talk every week during the season. Chris Patrick's going to join me this week. We're going to have Spencer Carberry in a long sit-down conversation. Katie Florio with a couple of players talking about off-ice stuff. It's going to be really good, and we're really looking forward to it all season long. 7 to 8 a.m. on Saturday mornings throughout the season, Caps Saturday face-off. And pumped to be part of the family, guys.
Love having you, man. Always invited. Open door policy.
Yeah.
You know that.
Just a little corner of real estate on the 01067.
That's right.
Just wipe your feet and have a seat on the couch, man. Cold one's on the way.
I don't mind if I do. Thank you.
Love it, brother. Have a great call tonight, man. Have a great season, buddy. Thank you as always.
All right, fellas. We'll see you. Thank you.
There's John Walton, 7:30. The Caps begin a brand new campaign. He will be in the call right here on 106.7 The Fan. You'll hear from our buddy Nick Dowd, the fourth-line center, really important two-way player for this team, coming up a little bit after 6 o'clock as we take you up to 6:30 tonight on The Fan. Next, some things we think. NFL edition going into week 6 in the National. This is Grant and Danny.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're with you for another hour on Grant and Danny, taking you up to 6:30. Remember, at 6, ahead of Nick Dowd of the Capitals, we're giving away tickets to My Chemical Romance. They're coming to the nation's capital at Nats Park, actually, this summer. We've got tickets this week. This is a hot commodity on the show. If you want a pair of tickets, you better be listening right at 6 o'clock.
I know Black Parade the best. That was kind of like the biggest smash that they had. But if you're in that kind of, I think, like a little bit older than you, a little bit younger than me. There's like a, for me, it's like Def Leppard, Guns N' Roses, a couple of those like bands that were like just bit larger than life, so enormous and so awesome, and then have kind of like faded over time in terms of now it's on the classic rock station. I wonder, like, My Chemical Romance, like that wheelhouse for like the 39-year-old.
I was
like, that's
say,
their.
My brother's 40, and that's his, maybe one of his
yeah,
top seeds
wheelhouse.
From growing up. I think if you're, yeah, like 37 to 45 mm-hmm. time, like that age group, definitely just one smash after another. All right, let's go around the NFL. Week 6 kicks off tomorrow. Things we think after 5 weeks of football.
I think the Bills will be just fine, please and thank you. They are playing with their food. This team is so good that they haven't really challenged themselves yet. They haven't really put the pedal to the metal. They haven't really hit the gas yet. They lost to New England. I don't think they care. This is now kind of what the Kansas City Chiefs were a couple of years ago, or the Patriots were during their dynasty. They know they're so good. They're not showing you everything. They're going to do just enough. They'll win 13 games. Even though they lost in the division to New England, a major game for them, not that big a deal for Buffalo. I expect them to go on the road and woodshed Atlanta. Just as a nice little wake-up call. A little cold water to the face last week.
For the first time all season, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to win the AFC North. And this is more a referendum on the division than it is an endorsement of Pittsburgh, who at 3-1 is a minus point differential. Still has one of the worst yard differentials in the NFL. They are coming off of a bye. They've won 3 of their 4 games. The Bengals are starting Joe Flacco at quarterback after benching Jake Browning. They had to trade for Flacco, who got benched by the Browns for Dylan Gabriel. And he's not the starter for like 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, he's the starter for a couple of months.
This is the horse they're riding.
Until Joe Burrow comes back. Do I really think Cincinnati, with that defense, outscored by 71 points, can hang? I do not. I think by the time Burrow's eligible to come back, they're already basically eliminated from the playoffs to the point where he may not even push it. There's no reason to rush and get him back in December if you can't make the playoffs. So I'm drawing a line with pen, not Sharpie, but with pen, through the Bengals. And I am working with pencil that I'm pushing down so hard on that the sheet of paper is tearing to cross out the Ravens for right now. They got to get really hot at 1-4 to get back into the conversation. And they have a very tough schedule. They play
the
Rams this weekend. They could lose. They'd be 1-5. Then they have a couple very winnable games, but eventually it's the Vikings. You still play. After that, it's a much easier schedule. But if you're 1-5, you don't make the playoffs. Like, you got to basically rip off 8 or 9 in a row at that point to have a real chance.
Yeah,
so,
they need that bye week because, you know, Lamar may or may not play this weekend, which
right.
is dubious.
And they also
now,
have the worst defense outside of Dallas and Chicago,
well,
maybe in the
that.
Entire NFL.
Yeah.
So I'm just out on the Ravens right now. I think the Steelers win the North.
We might have. This is the thing I think. We might have. Kicked a little too much dirt on Houston and buried them a little bit too soon. I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth here, but bear with your pal, all right? They lost 3 one-score games to start the year. The offense wasn't clicking. I'm aware of it. I saw it. You guys were there too. I know they've gone up against 2 terrible, horrendous football teams back-to-back weeks. The Ravens that Grant mentioned, beleaguered, scored 44 points, and that one ripped off 26 against Tennessee, throttled them. This defense is too good for them not to be a factor in that weird AFC South. I think the Colts are good. I think Jacksonville's good. But I don't think they're so good that they're going to go 4-1, 4-1, 4-1 3 more times and then end up at 13, 14 wins. I think Houston will still be a factor in this division. It's the kind of team you don't really want to play. Now, here's the other side of my mouth. The schedule is challenging enough where I still don't think they win the division. It's why I didn't pick them to win it. But I think we had them at 0-3 and said, they suck. They don't. They're a pain in the butt to play. And that's the thing I think.
I think the Chargers' early season 3-0 start is going to be a distant memory. We're going to look back and say what could have been. I think the last couple weeks are going to look more like what the next several are going to be for L.A. They cannot protect Justin Herbert. I thought he was uber impressive against Washington, and it did not matter. Now their running back got hurt, Amarion Hampton. They have lost both their starting and backup running back. They're on a third-string running back, a third-string tackle, third-string guard. They're benching their captain, who's their center, because he's not playing well, and a backup other tackle. Like, this is a team that is just completely decimated by injuries. They're favored by 4, I think it is, against the Dolphins this week. They have to beat Miami. If they go 3-3 and lose, and then they're playing the Colts and the Vikings, they're staring down the barrel at best 4-4 through 8 games. And with the Broncos surging, the Chiefs are going to get right. You get into big trouble real quickly. They've got a stretch where they play down the final month of the season. Philly, Kansas City, Dallas, Houston, Denver. Like, this is the part of the schedule where they had to get fat. They started to, and now they're too hurt to continue to eat to get fatter. I'm worried about the Chargers. I think they missed the playoffs.
I think. I'm not excited to play the Cowboys. Number one, I hate them, and I hate all their fans. Your chin strap beard and your flat brim hat look stupid and foolish. You've never been to Dallas. Start rooting for Duke and the Lakers. The second part of that, though, is their schedule isn't too challenging, and their offense can move the football and score, and CeeDee Lamb will be coming back sooner rather than later. They got Carolina this week. You're looking at a 3-2-1 and one mixtape tour style sponsored by Mountain Dew Code Red. You're looking at a 3-2-1 team against their tilt in October 19th against Washington. But that offense can really move the football. Dak Prescott's playing at a really high level. George Pickens right now, it's still honeymoon phase, so he's producing at a high level. Tight end is good. This is an offense that has a bad game that when they lost at Chicago. They looked terrible on a Sunday afternoon kind of game of the week style. Other than that, that offense has moved the ball north of 400 yards three different times. They could score, and that's not that exciting to me to play against.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is the Fan. We're going through NFL observations, some things we think through 5 weeks of football as we get ready for week six. How about this one from the NFC East? I think the Eagles are the most dramatic, really good yes. team in the history of the league. There's always something with this team. There's always a teammate who's upset, a meeting happening. Is this guy need to talk to the quarterback? Who needs to sit down? There is something about that club, and it's funny to say as a defending Super Bowl champions, but there's like a toxicity.
They did it last year, Grant.
To the personalities yeah. and the makeup. And I don't think it's a Jalen Hurts thing. But remember, even when they were good before, like Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson and the tell-all after that, it's always something with them. And that is certainly the case right now. They were 4-0, and their top wide receiver, A.J. Brown, is tweeting about how he'd like to be elsewhere, basically. And then Devontae Smith asked about it, and he's like, well, we all kind of felt like he fell. He's just the one that's going to say it. I'm paraphrasing. Then they had to have a team meeting, or at least a player meeting, with Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts, trying to all get on the same page. And none of those guys individually are putting up numbers, so none of them are that happy, except that they keep winning. That ended this week with the Denver Broncos, which I think led to this meeting. But they're 4-1. They're really, really good. They play the Giants on Thursday Night Football tomorrow. They're going to beat New York. They'll be 5-1. But it's never just that simple.
It's
with
never
them.
Easy.
It's never easy to explain how they win. And it's never easy to just say, oh, they're a winning team and there's harmony in the locker room. Uh-uh. There's something about that group of players together. It's just never like, you ever been in a workplace where there's, like, a guy that doesn't get along with someone else and you can't ever just all go out to lunch because this guy's going to be there? That's the Eagles to me. It's the Eagles' offense. They meet their quota. They make the sales
yeah, the numbers
every
are good.
Single
yeah.
quarter. But they are – there's nothing harmonious about that group.
The Minnesota Vikings, this is something I think, have a bye this week. When they come back, we're going to find out an awful lot about that Minnesota organization. Philly, at the Chargers. We'll see what Chargers team it is, how healthy they are or lack thereof. At Detroit, Baltimore, again, kind of same story. Bears, Packers, Seahawks, Washington. They're 3-2 right now with a bad loss at Pittsburgh. Really? That's how you're going to play? Against Cleveland, right, where they didn't dominate that game. Very well could have lost it. Probably should have lost it, to be honest with you. And they're 3-2 heading into that bye. We're going to find out an awful lot if this is a NFC playoff-type team or if they're going to go down the potty.
Things we think, NFL edition, place kicking is so damn good. The kickers in the NFL right now are just on another level. I looked these numbers up last night. There have already been 42 field goals attempted of at least 55 yards this season. Think about that. I couldn't find the numbers from like 10 years ago. I'm still working on getting back to that. But I'll bet you there were like 10 kicks all year from beyond 55 a decade ago. 42 attempts, 28 made field goals. So at a 66% clip, kickers are hitting from 56 and beyond this year. We're talking about 60, 58, 57, 59, 60-yard, 62-yard field goals being made at a 66% clip. Already, 23 different kickers have been asked to try field goals from beyond 55. This is the juice ball era. Now, you're allowed to basically get the ball out of the box, do whatever you want with it for days leading up to the game and hours. It's not just like, hey, here's a fresh kicking ball, go kick it. You can now pat it. And what's the Tommy Boy thing? Like,
I want to pat it.
Love it. I mean, you just get the ball ready to kick. 42 field goals of 55-plus. The game has changed.
I think Baker Mayfield is a story that deserves more attention. Every once in a while, once in a blue moon, you get a quarterback that was kind of passed over, not really well thought of, journeyman Jerry, never got the right situation, and he turns into Rich Gannon in his upper 30s in Oakland, right? Everyone left that guy for dead, rightfully so. I mean, he was here, he was in Minnesota, he was in Kansas City, never more than just a guy. And all of a sudden, he finds the right fit, one of the league's leading passers, takes a team all the way to the Super Bowl. Baker Mayfield was left for dead. He was in the Case Keenum tier. He was in the, well, we need to break glass in case of emergency. Call Baker. He'll come and start for us in the middle of the week. He was Joe Flacco before Joe Flacco, still in his 20s. This renaissance situation that Baker Mayfield has found himself in, 28 touchdowns, 10 picks. The next year, 41 touchdowns, 16 picks. That's a lot. This year, 10 touchdowns, one pick for Kansas City, I'm sure, for a Tampa Bay team that couldn't be more injured. Without Buck Irving, doesn't matter. Without Mike Evans, doesn't matter. Todd Bowles doesn't get enough credit, but this Baker Mayfield second act career story in Tampa Bay has been nothing short of remarkable.
The Raiders' offseason has backfired on them. They didn't want to rebuild. They wanted to do this reset thing to compete and go 9-8 in the AFC West and maybe make a wild card in year one. So they get Pete Carroll a winner. So they, you know, go get a veteran quarterback in Geno. They're 1-4. Geno, I think, is leading the NFL in interceptions last check. He's turning the ball over a bunch. He's had 2-3 interception games. At quarterback, at head coach, you went older than you probably should have. You went kind of right now instead of valuing the future. This is the maiden voyage for Tom Brady running an organization, and he's 0-1 on offseason.
Yeah, all in for okay.
As of right now. Yeah, you went all in for okay, and you're not even okay. The Raiders at 1-4, I think that they made a mistake. One other team I'll call attention to, things we think, NFL going into week 6. I think that the Arizona Cardinals, after their loss to the Titans last week, know that this is probably going to be an offseason where you're looking for a new head coach. Jonathan Gannon, for all of the jokes about him and his early, quirky, funny Michael Scott-type videos that were coming out. You and I thought it was going to be a disaster. It wasn't. He's a pretty good defensive coach. He seems to have been an okay head coach. But how many years are you going to do whatever this is? Where seems like you got enough talent to hang. Seems like you should be able to get into the wild card mix with now three of them in your conference. They're sub 500 again. I know Kyler Murray limits you a little bit physically in the pocket and then as an organization because he turns the ball over some. But that was such a bad loss. It's one of those you just kind of look around and go, what are we doing here? You know, that game, you're going to lose that game to the Titans and you're going to look yourself in the mirror and say, I'm okay with the direction of this thing. I'll bet you they're looking for a coach this offseason.
Last thing I think, Denver Broncos is about to go on a run. They're going to be catapulted by that win on the road, in the air and on the road, against the Philadelphia Eagles. They beat Cincinnati, who has it, right? So what? They lost those gut-wrenching, I can't believe we screwed the pooch in that situation, games to the Colts and then the Chargers in back-to-back weeks. They squandered an opportunity to really be 5-0 at this stage. They beat Philadelphia on the road. Here are their upcoming opponents. Ready? Jets, Giants, Cowboys, Texans, Raiders. All of a sudden, we're going to look up in Green Bay. I literally just said the name of the team. Denver is going to be one of the leaders in the AFC right at the top of that division.
Let's get to the Commanders next. They've got a chance to run all over the Bears. I'm going to give you some numbers on that as soon as we return on Grant and Danny. Nick Dowd's coming up in about 20 minutes from the Capitals and those tickets to My Chemical Romance at 6 as well. This is the Fan Live today from D.C. in City Tap House, just outside of Capital One Arena, where we're getting ready for a brand new hockey season on the Fan.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So I've been an NFL fan long enough to know that just when you think you've got a really good beat on a game, you don't actually know anything. And you could get yourself into a lot of trouble just looking at what teams are good at, what they're bad at, how a matchup looks on paper, and assume that that's how a game's going to go.
That's right.
Been around this block too many times, been here, done that, right? I got to tell you, when I look at the Bears defense, both watching their games and looking at the numbers, they are dreadful, and they cannot stop the run. They give up 6.72 yards per play, which is putrid. They are dead last against the run, 6.1 yards per carry. Basically, what Bill's averaging this season while we've all been blown away, that's about what they're giving up per play as a defense. Now, they're going to get three starters back, it looks like, on that side of the ball, which should help them some. But they have been so bad, 28th against the pass, 32nd against the run, 32nd overall. The only redeeming quality for this defense, which is also bottom five in sacks per pass attempt, where they're not getting a lot out of Montez Sweat, has been chirping about the Commanders this week. They turn you over. They are number one at intercepting passes. So if you're Jaden Daniels, you got to be careful. They're going to try to mask some coverages and bait you into some bad decisions and some poor throws. If you're a receiver, you got to know they're handsy. And that means, by the way, if you pop a ball up middle of the field, they're coming down with
it. That's coming down with it, yep.
They have the playmaker gene. But it's the only thing they do well on defense. There's no reason, in my opinion, Danny, why Washington should not run all over them.
I mean,
this should be a lineup, shove the ball down their throat, Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt left, Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt right, maybe right again and then left again, and then maybe downhill in the A-gap.
Maybe two rights and a left. It doesn't matter.
They should run the ball all over this Bears team. I get that this is not how the league works, or else everyone would make money betting. But, man, if this matchup doesn't look really favorable for Cliff Kingsbury on paper.
Yeah, exactly. On paper, that's what it looks like. Like, this is like a Chris Russell game, where I'm sitting there looking at it going,
I wouldn't throw the ball until they...
So they made
me.
You.
Like, I would punt twice before I threw the ball. I'm joking a little bit. But seriously, I
punt
would come
twice
out and go,
Milwaukee. Yeah.
All week long, my first 15 script, they're like, damn, Grant, you like to run the ball now. I do against this defense. I am feeding Ja'Cory Kroski.
So to me, it's twofold. I want to keep that offense on the field. It's not as if the Bears have been prolific on offense yet, but they have the combination that I'm terrified of, a human quarterback and receivers and a guy that can scheme people open. I don't think that the pass defense is solved just yet. I saw too many guys running wild and free, negated by illegal procedure because the lineman didn't put his foot in the right spot this past week to make me believe that it's solved. I'm solving that in two ways. One, I'm going to try to maul them. I'm going to try to be hurtful and malicious and mean and road grade and kick their ass on the ground. I want 14-minute drives. I want... Well, can you believe the first quarter is almost over and the Washington stalls the ball? Yes, I can, commentator guy. That's what I want. To me, their best defense right now is kind of what they did the second half last year. Jaden Daniels being splendid and this remarkably excellent run game. That's what I'm majoring in this week until they make me get out of it.
So what we've been talking about is a couple of weeks ago, we brought up the time of possession and said that is going to be how you fix the defense. It's staying on the field, and this is a matchup where you should theoretically be able to do that. I just don't know why it would be that different for them defensively stopping the run this week. Now, it's got to be acknowledged they're coming off of a bye. So they're going to do a lot of self-scouting, maybe fix some of their issues, going to get to the drawing board and say, okay, where do we stink? Let's do this different, this different, this different. And then you look at it, and again, they are getting some injured players back as well. They're going to get Kyler Gordon back, their cornerback. They're going to get Mitchell, their linebacker, or T.J. Edwards, rather, their linebacker back on the second level. And then they're also getting, I believe, Grady Jarrett, a little bit more questionable still, but very, very good chance that the big D tackle plays as well. So when you're talking about a linebacker, an interior lineman, a corner, all on the defensive side of the ball, well, it's no wonder with those injuries that they haven't quite been at their best. But I don't think their best is any good either. Like, okay, so you're not 32nd. So now let's say you're 27th or 25th or whatever. This is still the type of game, if Washington's got McLaurin back, which should happen, if they have Noah Brown back, which will happen, if they're able to run the ball, which they have all year, if you've got a special weapon at quarterback, check. If your offensive line is playing well, it is. You should be able to just whoop this defense. This is as bad a defense as they're going to play. It'll be Dallas twice, this Bears group, unless you're playing against the Ravens. There aren't defenses this bad in football right now.
Yeah, and again, you touched on it. The bye week and a week to self-scout, a week to try to fix some stuff. I mean, Washington was bad. I mean, I'm a little bit hyperbolic. I know it's stunning for me. But after as atrocious as Washington was in Atlanta, I'm going, use this week to kind of self-scout and fix some stuff. I don't know how fixed everything is. I don't know how solved it is, but I know they were much better against the Chargers. Now, part of that is the Chargers' offensive line is you, me, Toby, Darius, and Ryan trying to block people, but they're a disaster. But they took advantage of that. I don't know that they would have done that if they'd played Atlanta again this coming week or this past week. So you use that opportunity to try to improve on some things. But my point is, it's still the same dudes in the room. You can have a couple different schemes, a couple different designs, a couple different fits. I think that's adorable. I also happen to think this rush offense can do what they've been doing to a lot of people. Even some good rush fronts, even some good run defenses are going to get knocked around a little bit by Chris Paul, Tyler Biadasz, Tunsil and company. And this is not a good run front. It's not.
Yeah, so, they now have a line that is very, very good at this, obviously. But they also, and maybe more importantly, have running backs that are really, really good as well. So you add those things together with the Kingsbury design and how they're scheming this up and the wrinkles off of things that they've done that make life really hard for these teams. And I just think this is sustainable. This is what they're going to be. You've got one of the best run offenses in 2025 in the NFL going up against the team that so far has been the worst run defense. Football's more complicated than this.
Yeah, like weird crap happens.
But like, yes, but you got to find a way to make that work. And if it doesn't, it means you probably didn't try enough.
The best run game Washington had, you know, probably arguably all year, but at least in the second half of the year, was against a great run defense in Tennessee. So go figure that. You can't necessarily. It doesn't always work that way, to your point. But on paper, that screams. That's in bold ink. It jumps out at you going, hey, pay attention to me.
Football Conversation on the Fans presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We're at City Tap House. This should be a spot for you to post up before Capitals games throughout the Cap season. They do $5 drafts in cans, $6 wine by the glass at happy hour, $7 mixed drinks, $8 bites. It's just a really, really good sports bar restaurant out here. The food's incredible. So come on out before Caps games. We're with you until 6:30 this evening. We'll talk to Nick Dowd coming up in just a few. And as soon as we return next, those tickets, someone's winning them to see My Chemical Romance in the District right here on Grant and Danny.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.